Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in these last final days before Christmas. Amen. The incarnation had already occurred. At the time of the visitation, that time celebrated now within the church, when Mary goes and visits her relative Elizabeth, the incarnation of God had already happened. Mary had already received the blessed news from the angel of the Lord that she, humble Virgin Mary, would be the carrier of God, and that his name, God within her, would be Jesus. And so God was already making his dwelling place within her womb. And not only that, but God's dwelling within the womb of Mary was the fulfillment of all of the promises God had made to his people throughout the ages. Mary had been chosen by God to play a part in his plan of salvation. Now you can imagine the excitement, the buzz that was in that little house in Judea. For Elizabeth, a woman well beyond the years of bearing children, was pregnant with a son. And Mary, who was not yet married, and who was still a virgin, was also pregnant with a son. Now, pregnancy in and of itself is something to be excited about, for it is a blessed occasion. But even more so, these two ladies, Mary and Elizabeth, were pregnant with remarkable sons. For Elizabeth's boy, John, would grow up to be the great baptizer, who would be called the greatest ever born of woman. And Mary's boy, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, was impossibly contained in human flesh, the Son of God in Mary's womb. And these two ladies, Mary and Elizabeth, knew and believed that fact, that God was in Mary, in the person of Jesus Christ. Mary believed the word that the angel spoke to her, no matter how impossible it may have seemed, for the Holy Spirit was upon her. And she believed that her son, Jesus, was the Son of God. And Elizabeth, also being filled with the Holy Spirit, recognized when Mary came to see her that this was the mother of her Lord. Miraculously, by faith, both women believed that Mary had their God within her. And miraculously, by faith, we believe it too, that Mary had our God within her. Now, you all know how you feel when you hear good news, when you are the recipients of blessed news. You want to tell someone. Perhaps you want to tell everyone, for the excitement builds inside of you, and you want to share that good news. And if that announcement announces that something good is still to come, then you can't wait for that event to take place. And the excitement that builds inside of you is at its greatest, well, one, when you first hear that good news, and two, right before that blessed event is about to happen. Now, on the flip side of that, you also know how it feels when the announcement of good news starts to fade away. When the time increases between the announcement and the events, the excitement begins to fade. And the longer it takes for that good news to happen, for the blessed event to arrive, the more your excitement disappears. And as the promise of good news is announced again and again, constantly reminding us of the promise, hope is rekindled. And the excitement continues on. Now, I'm hard-pressed to think of anyone who would understand this truth more than Adam and Eve, the very first humans created, the very first sinners of creation, the father and mother of us all. Humanity is cursed because of Adam and Eve's disobedience against God. And none of us can properly imagine the guilt that they must have felt at being the initiators of rebellion against God amongst creation. And yet, God showed them mercy. He could have justly destroyed them right then and there and sent them straight to hell. But instead, the Lord God promised them hope. The offspring of the woman, Eve, would bruise the head of the offspring of the serpent. In other words, salvation would come through the descendant of Adam and Eve. Now, this was truly exciting good news for Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve had failed. And they were in the guilt of their sin. And yet God promised to succeed. And now I'm hard-pressed to think of anyone who could be more excited at the good news than Adam and Eve. And Eve was so excited by this news that one of her descendants would be the promised head bruiser, the promised Savior, that she couldn't help but exclaim at the birth of Cain that this is her Lord. And so many translators have translated this passage, Eve's words, throughout the centuries. But her exclamation, if we are to take it this way, is a bit premature. And yet it isn't hard to imagine that each young Israelite woman might have had that same thought throughout the centuries. A young, faithful Hebrew girl thinking just maybe her son could be the promised head bruiser, the promised Savior of the world. But as time passed on, as the generations moved forward, and the Savior continued to delay, that excitement dwindled. But God would not let that excitement die. He would not let the hope that He had given to His people, to all creation, He would not let that hope slip away. And so God refreshed the promise that He made to Adam and Eve throughout the generations. He refreshed that promise of a coming Savior through His words to Abraham, as we have heard in the sermon series this past Advent Wednesday evenings. For God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." And again in Genesis 22, God says to Abraham, "In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." So one of Abraham's descendants would be the blessing that all nations so desperately need. And to David, the great king of Israel, God said to him, "I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." And so David's descendant, promised by God, would be the son of God. and refining that hope promised to Adam and Eve, promised to Abraham and to David. God says through the prophet Micah and through the prophet Isaiah where the Messiah would be born and to whom he would be born. From Micah we have heard already this morning, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." And the precious words remembered from Isaiah, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son." And so throughout the centuries of waiting, as the time continued to pass, God kept the excitement of the coming Savior alive. He renewed his promises to his people time and time again. He never let them forget that he was faithful, even when they failed to be so. A truth that applies to us as well. And so that brings us back to today's gospel, the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. Two women eager to share the news of their miraculous pregnancies. Two women who had been chosen by God, not because of their greatness, but because of his. And miraculously, inside the womb of Mary, those tight and narrow confines of the human flesh, was Jesus, the Son of God, the head bruiser, the Savior of the nations. And not just a potential Jesus who would grow someday to be the Son of God, but inside that Holy Spirit-conceived baby in the womb dwelt the fullness of the deity. In Mary's womb, hidden from the sight of the world, lay the hope of all creation, the desire of nations, the key of David, the long-promised offspring of Adam and Eve. And so what excitement that gave to Mary and to Elizabeth, and what excitement that also gives to us. For with Mary and with Elizabeth, we too confess our need for a Savior. With Adam and Eve, the first parents, our parents, we confess our sins and acknowledge that we too need God to bruise the head of the serpent, to pay the penalty for our sins. We confess that we need Jesus. And with all the glitz and hubbub of the commercialized Christmas in our world, it is so easy to forget and lose sight of what the true cause of the excitement of this season really is. It's easy to forget and overlook the Savior of the nations. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus seeks to remind us of that message, to keep that fresh in our minds. And he does that through his word and through his sacrament. He does that by having the church celebrate his nativity with Advent services, Christmas programs, and special Christmas services as well. By doing so, he keeps fresh in our minds the underlying message of Christmas, the main reason for this season. And we are so blessed to hear that message of salvation time and time again. We are blessed to receive that excitement of Christmas, the very God of very God in human flesh, that we can touch and that we can taste in, with, and under the bread and wine of his precious meal. How truly exciting, then, this season is for all of us sinners who need Jesus, the Savior, and who believe in him. And how truly exciting This great season can be for all sinners who have not yet heard this great news or have believed it. And what a blessing it is for us to share in the excitement of Mary and Elizabeth, to share in the excitement of Adam and Eve, to share in the excitement of Abraham and David, the excitement that the promise of God has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the excitement that Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus himself, has rested in the womb of Mary, has been born of her, and has saved us all. Amen. And now the peace that passes all human understanding that comes to you through our Savior Jesus Christ, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in him. Amen.